This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And this is WCBS, New York. 8 p.m. BULOVA, Boulevard Watch Time. Boulevard, gift of a lifetime. Say, tell Danny Thomas that his new neighbors are moving in. That's right. In just a moment, Mr. Ace and Jane move into the opening spot in our regular Friday night laughter lineup. Followed at 8:30 by The Danny Thomas Show.
Jell-O, with its six delicious flavors, presents Mr. Ace and Jane with that new comedy flavor. Jell-O, America's favorite gelatin dessert, presents the new weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Tonight, Chapter 17, in the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane, wherein Mr. Ace is assigned by the advertising company where he works to prepare a radio program about a married couple where the husband is constantly upset by the ridiculous things his not-so-bright wife does. But the sponsor doesn't like it because he feels nobody could be as dumb as the lady on the program. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
that is no lady, that is my wife. This has got to be a tricky deal. I'll tell you all about it in half a mo.
I think I'll take that half a mo to tell you about Jell-O in those six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. Each one shimmering with fruit-rich color. Tempting with famous locked-in flavor. Flavor that's sealed right into the Jell-O so it can't get out till your first delectable spoonful. That's why Jell-O tastes so rich and good, it reminds you of the real ripe fruit itself. That's why Jell-O is America's favorite gelatin dessert. And now, Mr. Ace, what was that about a radio program?
Well, first I want to say that the two principal characters in this story are not fictitious. Very often I wish to heaven I were. And any similarity to persons alive or on transcription is purely intentional. Jane and I, the two principal characters I'm talking about, are the typical average couple living in a typical little eastern town called New York City. Population, 8 million. Give or take one. And if you're going to take one, take my brother-in-law, Paul. Jane's brother, Paul, is a supporting character in this story. That is, I've been supporting this character for 15 years. Paul hasn't been able to find a job since I married his sister.
I haven't been able to find a job since he married my sister.
He borrows money from me and goes out to the track with every cent of it.
I borrow money from him and I keep track of every cent of it.
He finds Jane and me a very soft touch.
The easy aces.
No schmo, he. He knows Jane will protect him.
He knows I'll always protect him.
Jane keeps telling me Paul's going to make a lot of money in one fell swoop.
Paul's going to make a lot of money in one swell swoop.
There's nothing I can do about it because Jane's got me in the hollow of her hand.
There's nothing he can do about it because I've got it in the hollow of my head.
The other morning, Jane and I were having breakfast when who should drop in but her brother, Paul. I don't mean to sound surprised because Paul does this every morning. You see, he lives up on 141st Street, and we live on 76th Street. Every morning, he starts out to have breakfast in a drugstore on 47th Street. But to get there, he has to pass through our kitchen. It's a shortcut. This saves him, about 65 cents.
Well, good morning, folks. I was just on my way downtown to the drugstore, and I thought I'd amble by.
Look, amble. Don't go through that same routine every morning. Just sit down and eat.
Oh, breakfast. Thank you.
Orange juice, Paul?
Yeah, double, Jane, please. Double.
Here you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, brother, I was going to come down to your office to see you today, but I know how busy you are down there. So you're lucky I found you home.
Oh, I was born lucky.
Oh, hot biscuit, fine. Well, brother, do you know that it was just a year ago today you lent me $100 to buy a couple of suits? 1 year ago to the day.
Happy birthday.
Birthday? This isn't your birthday, is it, Paul?
No, sir.
Oh, I didn't think it was, because I always remembered he had you some little pimento.
Well, pass the cheese, James.
Help yourself, Paul. Here, aren't you eating too many biscuits?
The condemned man ate a hearty meal. Paul, how much did you want to... I mean, what did you want to see me about?
Well, I have an income tax payment to make next week, and I haven't...
Income tax? What are you paying income tax on? You haven't worked since I've known you.
Well, last March, all the boys were making out their income taxes, and, well, I...
You went along with the gag?
Yeah. No, but... How would it look if I didn't turn in one? So I filled out a tax blank and made myself up a pretty good income, and now I have to pay $250 every 3 months.
$250?
Well, that isn't much on $15,000 a year.
$15,000?
Believe me, I had to cut plenty of corners and getting Jane in as a dependent, too.
Jane?
Oh, isn't that sweet? He remembers me.
Isn't that awful? Paul, I am not giving you another cent.
Now, dear, relax.
I will not relax. I mean, I'm going to relax.
Now, dear, Paul's my brother, my own flesh and bone. And if he needs money, I don't know who should lend it to him but us. And if I'm wrong, I'm not far from it.
But, Jane, I've given him money all my life.
Oh, so you gave him $20 once, maybe twice. That's all I ever saw you give him, $20 a couple of times.
Oh, you and your 20/20 vision.
Can I have some more hot coffee, Ted?
Put that cup down.
And some more biscuits, Jamesy.
Look, Paul V. $15,000 a year. You couldn't have not made $10,000 a year instead of not making $15,000. $250 every 3 months. Well, I'm not going to pay for it. Even if I have to go to jail. For what? What am I talking about? Oh, I have to get downtown. I hope you're satisfied. You got me all nervous and my digestion's upset.
Dear, shall I fix you some back fluoride?
No. Yes, that's an idea. I'll get some on the way downtown. $15,000 a year. I don't know why I get so upset over these things. It's been going on for years. Since the day I married Jane. And Paul asked if he could come along on our honeymoon. And I said no. And Jane said, oh, let him come along, dear. He's never been on a honeymoon. $15,000. At that, Paul and I have something in common. I work for an advertising firm, and I don't make $15,000 a year, too. But I have to work hard for what I don't make. Oh, I ought to tell you, the advertising firm I work for is Sutton, Dutton, Mutton, and Norris. I don't know how he got in there. In the trade, you know, advertising agencies are known by their initials. Sutton, Dutton, Mutton, and Norris are known as SDMN. And the firm of Lacey, Sullivan, Maxwell, and Finnegan is known as LFMF. Nice opening there for a man named Thompson, isn't there? Then there's the advertising firm which did such wonderful work on bill posters during the war, asking America to go all out. The firm of Foster, 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 and Foster, known to the trade as 4F. My boss is Mr. Norris. Mr. Norris talks like a copybook. He believes a man's best friend is his motto.
Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
He's been married 3 times.
If at first you don't succeed, try again.
But in spite of his corny talk, I like Mr. Norris. He's a lonely man. He has no children.
If at first you don't succeed...
Yes. That's Mr. Norris, and when I arrived a little late at the office that morning, he was there ahead of me, waiting.
Mr. Ace, the early bird catches the worm, I always say.
Yes, you do, and I'm sorry to be late, Mr. Norris. I had a little domestic problem to take care of at home.
A man's home is his castle, I always say.
That's your privilege. It was my brother-in-law again. I take a lot of abuse from him.
Take a little, leave a little, I always say.
That's right, yes.
But we have a little problem here, too, Mr. Ace. The advertising campaign for our automobile account.
Oh, yes, they want to put on a radio program, I hear.
Not a radio program, Mr. Ace. They have their minds made up for one specific program, Mr. and Mrs. King.
King?
Yes. Remember the comedy team that had such a long run and then suddenly retired from broadcasting? She was the dumb wife and he was the suffering husband.
Oh, yes, the Kings. Yes, they were quite funny, I thought. Oh, she used to get him in the more silly predicament.
Each his own, I always say, Mr. Ace. I never understood their popularity. But this sponsor wants them and it's up to us to get them back. Ours not to reason why, ours but to do or die, I always say.
Yes, I've heard you say that. Well, that's no problem, the Kings. Let's get them.
Get them, he says. They don't want to come back to radio.
But why?
That is for you to find out. And it's up to you to convince them that they should come back. I would suggest you get in touch with Mr. King. He's in town now, and persuade him and his wife to come back to radio.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Ace, I needn't tell you that this account means a great deal to us just now. Other advertising agencies are also trying to get the Kings. Interest in them is a fever pitch, but I have confidence that your persuasion will knock the others out cold. Right, Mr. Ace?
Yes, sir. Feed a cold and starve a fever, I always say.
Yes, why didn't I say that?
You will, Mr. Norris. Well, I was quite excited about my assignment to meet the Kings. They used to be my favorite radio program. Next to the American Melody Hour, of course. She used to get into the more silly predicaments. Oh, well, I must take hold of myself. I found the fashionable Fifth Avenue Hotel at which the Kings were stopping, and I got there just as they drove off in a taxi. So I asked the fashionable doorman where they went. He spat upon my gabardine, which I happened to be wearing at the time. It was raining, and he walked away. However, a little persuasion brought him around. I slipped in $6,000, which I happened to have on me at the time. And he told me they had gone to 21 for lunch. Club 21, if you don't know, is awfully exclusive. I've never been able to get in there myself. Jane has a little joke she tells on me about that.
He's free, white, and can't get into 21.
So I decided I'd wait around the hotel till they got back. I took my place in line with the kids standing around waiting for autographs on the street there. I tried to talk them into lining up alphabetically, but they wouldn't go for that. 2 hours later, the Kings came back. I followed them in and introduced myself. Mr. King came right to the point and told me in no uncertain terms what he thought about coming back on the radio.
I'll come right to the point and tell you in no uncertain terms what I think about coming back on the radio. No.
But why, Mr. King? You were so funny, and your wife, Mr. King...
Don't you ask me that. Don't you dare ask me that.
Ask you what?
The question that made us quit radio. Everybody always asks me the same question. Is your wife really that dumb?
Oh, is that why you...
And everybody always asks me the same question. How could a girl as dumb as you get a man as bright as your husband?
Oh, is that why you...
That's
both...
why.
Oh.
After 15 years of that, we decided that the character Mrs. King played was unbelievable. She doesn't exist. There is no person that dumb.
Would you folks come to my house for dinner?
Dinner?
Yes.
Well, thanks, but we're really...
Please, I can positively convince you that you ought to go back on the radio.
How?
Well, if all it takes to convince you is to prove that somebody really is as... Well, just come to my house for dinner. How about tonight?
Well, how about it, Jean?
Well, I don't know.
You won't be sorry. Please accept.
Okay, we'll be there. Don't quite get it, but we'll be there.
Fine, thank you very much. I'll be by for you at 6 o'clock, okay?
Make it 6:30.
6:30, okay, thanks. Oh, one more thing.
An autograph?
Yeah, would you?
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Gee, that's well. And yours too, Mrs. King?
Of course.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. King. Oh, you used to get him in the more silly predicament. tell me, Mr. King, is your wife really as dumb?
What?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I lost my... Fervently clutching their autographs in my hot little hand, I hurried back to the office and tenderly placed them in my collection, alongside Buddy Rogers and Rochelle Hudson. Then I called in my secretary, Miss Anderson. Miss Anderson may not be a fast typist, but she is inaccurate. Why don't I fire her? Well, she's Jane's cousin, twice removed. That is, I removed her twice, and Jane got her a job back 3 times. I keep suggesting she find herself a husband.
He keeps suggesting I find myself a husband.
She's not exactly unattractive.
I'm not exactly unattractive.
But soon she'll be too old to get married.
I'm not exactly unattractive.
Miss Anderson, call the house. I want to talk to Jane.
Yes.
Then I want you to take a memo to Mr. Norris. I want to make a report on my meeting with the Kings. I think we're going to land them. All I have to do is get Jane to talking.
Just a minute.
Kick in. Oh, Jimmy. Jane, I've invited 2 people to the house tonight for dinner, Mr. and Mrs. King, the radio actors, and I want you to get up a pretty nice dinner. All the trimmings, there'll be just the 4 of us. I know this is pretty short notice, but it's very important. A big deal depends on it, okay?
Oh,
yes. Isn't that awful?
Oh, it's you, dear.
Surprise?
Dear, that's no way to start a phone conversation. Just talk. Oh, this is so-so. Who is that?
give the person time to catch her breath.
Look, so-so. This is your husband. Hello.
And that is. Hello, dear.
Now what?
Let me see. What was I calling you about now?
I called you.
Oh, yes, about that dinner tonight.
Yes.
Okay, dear, I'll do my best here.
Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome, dear. Now you can say goodbye.
Oh, Jane, you kill me.
All right.
Goodbye. Unbelievable character. What a surprise I've got for the Kings tonight. Well, it looked like I was all set. I couldn't miss. But I didn't count on our next-door neighbors coming in to see Jane that afternoon and messing things up. Oh, I ought to tell you that, like the typical average family, we happen to live next door to a radio announcer, a fellow named Ken Roberts. You hear him on the radio all the time. I heard him doing a commercial the other day for a cigarette company. He said something like,
recently conducted laboratory tests prove that recently more doctors have been conducting laboratory tests than treating patients.
I don't believe it.
So, light up, folks. Statistics prove that where particular people congregate, more folks are lit up than anybody else.
Well, that's Ken Roberts, and now get the way he sabotages my little plan.
Oh, having company for dinner, Jane?
Yes, Ken, and you got here in the nick of time.
Oh, I did?
Yes, we're having some radio people over for dinner.
Oh, a deal Miss Race is trying to put over?
Yes, and he says it's very important, and for once, I'd like to do something to help him. But, Ken, what I don't know, understand about business wouldn't take much.
Well, Jane, if I can help you...
I never seem to know what to talk about to people like that. Not that I want to be a chatterbrain, you understand.
Well, Jane, if you'll just...
I don't mean I want to monotonize the conversation. It's just that I always get my bearings balled up. I never had help in before, and it's high noon I did. Does it to you, Ken?
Oh, sure I do.
Well, then, Ken, what do radio people talk about?
Well, mostly themselves.
Themselves?
Yeah, they talk about how their hooper ratings are beginning to drop off around this season of the year.
Hooper?
And how difficult it is to get up a different radio show every week and make it sound fresh and spontaneous.
Spontaneous?
And what's going to happen to radio people when radio is taken over by television?
Television?
Just keep the conversation going about radio all through dinner. By the way, what are you having for dinner?
Oh, a great big turkey.
A turkey? Oh, no, Jane.
And why not, if I may be so cold?
Well, if you're going to talk about radio shows, turkey has an unpleasant connotation.
Oh, not this one, Ken. It's very fresh.
Well, I wouldn't serve turkey, Jane. And by the way, what are you having for dessert?
Dessert? I'm worried about this turkey I ordered. It's behind me. Why, radio actors won't like turkey.
Well, you might get away with it, Jane, if you top the whole meal off with great big dishes of Jell-O.
That turkey's been locked in the oven for an hour now.
Jell-O is rich with that famous locked-in flavor.
I could get steak or roast beef, but that six is one and a half a dozen of the other.
Yes, six delicious flavors, one half dozen. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
Steak would be safer. Everybody likes steak.
And everybody likes Jell-O. Why, Jell-O is America's favorite gelatin dessert.
Well, thanks, Ken. You've convinced me.
Yeah? Gonna serve J-E-L-L-O?
S-E-A-K-E.
Oh, Jane. Jane, what about dessert?
Dessert? Oh, I'm serving Jell-O for dessert. Why do you ask?
Oh, no reason, Jane.
Now, Ken, there can't be any argument about Jell-O. You may know about the meat course, but when it comes to dessert, the same thing I could tell you about Jell-O would open your mouth.
You could tell me?
Not now, Ken. I'm busy. But thanks for telling me what to talk about to those radio people. You've done me a wonderful flavor.
Well, if I were a nice guy, I'd skip the dinner scene entirely. But I suffered through it, and so can you. All I wanted to do was convince Mr. and Mrs. King that the dumb girl character Mrs. King played on the radio was not unbelievable. And I figured after they talked to Jane for a while, she could convince them, single-headed. I knew, for instance, if I served a drink before dinner, Jane would refuse hers, like this.
No, thanks. I don't drink anything. I'm a totalitarian.
That's what I had hoped for, and much more. But I didn't even get to the drink. The Kings had no sooner settled themselves comfortably in the living room before dinner when, to my utter amazement, I heard this coming from Jane.
Well, Mr. King, have you noticed the Hooper ratings are beginning to fall off around this season of the year?
Well, yes, Mrs. Ace, I have.
What did you say, Jane?
A radio talk, dear. You wouldn't understand.
Radio talk?
Mrs. King, it must be difficult to get up a different radio show every week and make it sound fresh and spontaneous.
How right you are, Mrs. Ace.
You do?
Jane, can I speak to you a moment in the broom closet?
And, Mr. King, what about television?
Ah, that's the question.
Well, wait till I ask it. What's going to happen to radio people when radio is taken over by television?
Very good question, Mrs. Ace.
What do you think, Mr. Ace?
I think I'll go in and shave, and if I'm lucky, I may cut my throat.
Shave now, dear?
Well, it's very difficult to shave week after week and still be fresh and spontaneous.
What are you talking about, dear?
Shaving talk, dear. You wouldn't understand. Jane, the doorbell.
Oh, I was just going to, dear. I want to do this someday.
Mighty smart little wife to have there, Miss Grace.
You do?
How long have you been married to this brilliant woman, Mr. A?
Oh, about 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Yes. Oh, Paul.
Yes, I gotta see that husband of yours.
Yes, fine. Come in, Paul. Home you are in. Dear, it's Paul.
Well, hello, brother.
Go home.
Oh, I didn't know you had company.
Oh, well, this is my brother, Paul Sherwood. This is Mrs. King, Paul.
Oh, how do you
do? Hi, love.
What do you want, Paul?
Well, you've got company now. I don't think this would be the time.
Dear, I think he's embarrassed in front of Mr. and Mrs. King, but he wants to talk to YOU about lending H.I.M. the money.
Well, welcome back, Jane. I've missed you. Maybe Paul got here just in time. What does he want, Jane?
You know, dear, he wants to borrow some money.
Will the witness speak up? Money for what?
To pay his income tax.
Does he work?
Well, no.
Did he ever work, madam?
Well, no, Your Honor.
Mr. Ace, if you want to talk privately about this family matter, we can...
No. You sit right there. Unbelievable character, huh? Jane, do you think I ought to give him the money?
I certainly do. Paul is my favorite brother.
He's your only brother, isn't he?
Yes, and my favorite.
Your favorite.
He's my own flesh and bone.
Now you're rolling.
Says, I don't think we ought to discuss this.
You stay out of this. I'll punch you right in the nose.
You punch who?
You.
Here, you're wearing glasses, and so is Paul.
Well, I'll take mine off, and he can take his off, and I'll find him quicker than he can find me.
Here, relax. Don't fly off the coop. Remember your blood pleasure.
Unbelievable character. And now, madam, will you tell the court, what did you say night before last when all the lights in this apartment went out?
I said it must be a short circuit.
A short circuit?
Well, I'll see what that
is. And last Sunday when we went to the zoo, what was that about the camel?
I said what everybody knows. The camel can travel 8 days without walking.
Without walking, yes. And when I got home from the office that day and told you my boss was enraged, what did you say?
I said, congratulations.
Yes.
Dear, what's all this?
Jane, would you swear that you said all these things?
Swear?
Would you take an oath that you said them?
Well, this will make you happy. I solemn swear.
Step down, Solomon. The Constitution rests, Mr. King. Unbelievable character.
Mr. Ace, I take it all back. You convinced me. How about it, Jean?
Yes, how about you, Mrs. King?
Mr. Ace, you could have knocked me down with a fender.
What?
If I hadn't seen this with my own ears, I never would have believed it.
Then, Mrs. King, you will come back on the radio?
No sooner said the better, Mr. Ace.
Ace the Smith. Let's eat. And that's how the Kings went back on the radio. They called the act Mr. King and Jean. And it was a big success. You should have heard that studio audience carry on, if you know what I mean. Everybody was most enthusiastic about it. That is, everybody but a character named Frederick Tillerson. He was the sponsor. He collared me right after the first night's broadcast.
Mr. Ace, I think the program's going to be all right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tillerson. After all, you're the sponsor.
Just one thing I don't like. You'll have to change that character of a wife. Nobody can be that dumb.
Mr. Tillerson, would you come to my house for dinner?
Oh, Darius, Frederick, I've been looking all over for you. You know it's way past your bedtime.
Oh, my dear, this is Mr. Ace. This is Mrs. Tillerson.
I am happy.
Frederick, we're going home this minute. You've been up since the crank of dawn.
Crank of dawn?
I've sent for the car. It'll be here in a jitney.
In a jitney.
I think he should go right home. Doesn't it to you, Mr. Ace?
Yes, I do, Jay. I mean, Mrs. Kellogg.
Look who thought the wife was too dumb. The next day, the newspapers reviewed the program, and Variety had one paragraph which read, "The character of the dumb wife is entirely unbelievable." So I called the home of the radio editor, George Rosen, and his wife answered the phone.
"No, George isn't here. He went to have his glasses fitted. If it's important, I can give you the name of the optimist."
"Optimist. Would you ask him if he'd like to come to dinner? Never mind. Goodbye, Jane. I mean, Mrs. Rosen." And that night at home, Jane started in.
"Dear, I think that character is too unbelievable. Of course, that's just between you and me and the lampshade."
"Jane, would you like to come to dinner? Oh, no. Jane, from anybody but you."
"What do you mean, anybody but me? I've got a right to my opinion as well as everybody else. We're all free, made it equal."
"Doesn't that burn you up?"
"I simply said the character is unbelievable. No husband could be that dumb."
"Oh, you thought the husband was dumb. Isn't that all?"
In just a moment, I'll give you the title of next week's chapter 18 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. Say, I found something in the Ace's kitchen that looked quite interesting. A scrapbook full of recipes written out in Jane's own handwriting. They read just like Jane talks, but I did manage to unscramble one of them. It's called Cardinal Pear Mold, and it's a swell, simple Jell-O dessert that looks and tastes like a million. You dissolve cherry Jell-O in 2 cups of canned pear juice and water. Add a dash of salt and ginger. When firm, unmold and garnish with canned pear halves. No trouble, and it's really wonderful.
Original music conducted by Morris Church. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.